Welcome back to the light side edition of Balance of Power. We got one more hour to go tonight. Gunner and Kess are now up in the VIP area, bumping in the club. But while that's happening, where are Z3 and Talra? Where did you guys go? Were you hiding out while this stuff is happening? That's what I want to know. Where do you guys go? Where do you hide out?
Well, I think we're just trying to stay as low as we can, just as low key as possible. We know they're scouting the place. We know that there's people looking for us. So we're just kind of waiting to hear from them and trying to hear, you know, what the next step's going to be. How's it look?
Okay.
I think you're like finding Allie and sitting down like, you know, like a bum.
Yeah. So just like trying to like pass yourselves off as like beggars or something.
Well, just sitting down, like pretending I'm sleeping or something.
Okay. All right. So let's get you to roll to stay hidden, stay out of the way. I think streetwise probably is appropriate here because it's not stealth. Like you're not trying to like hide in shadows or whatever. You're just trying to use like your knowledge of the streets to try to like find you a place where you can stay out of the way.
Okay.
So yeah, one of you can roll it. The other one can provide a die of help.
I have two greens.
I have yellow and two greens for streetwise.
Okay. Do it.
Cool. So right. I roll one. What am I rolling exactly?
So you're going to roll against your, like the skill you're using is streetwise. The difficulty is going to be, it's going to be three difficulty. And I'm going to spend a point to bump it up. I think tensions are high, in town right now. There we go. So, yeah, so you're going to be, three purple with one upgrade on the bad side, one blue on your side, and then roll your streetwise.
Here we go.
Killing it. Just using the dice to flip me the bird. like, oh, it's dangerous, huh, Adam? Those are for you. Okay, so I accept. And
he can blend in, fade away. He speaks five languages. You'll never find him.
Exactly. So you disappear into the morning crowd, and time passes uneventfully. I think even to the point where like the two of you maybe are like, you know, crouched in the doorway, just trying to seem like, you know, not interesting. And like a group of stormtroopers like walk past you and they don't, they don't see you. And you manage to like stay hidden, while that happens. So good work. It's approaching the time when you're going to want to like make your way to the meeting spot. And let's check in with the VIPs and then see if they have a chance to get back to you. So the two of you, up in the VIP lounge, what are you doing? What do you want to do? Like I said, it's like kind of quiet up here. A couple of people like look over at you when you come upstairs, but don't say anything and don't seem like too suspicious.
I'm really trying to avoid eye contact from the harp woman.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So
I'm just kind of like staring straight ahead. I wasn't really sure there'd be secrets up here, so I'm kind of waiting for Kess to make a move.
Okay. Kess, what do you want to do?
I mean, I guess I'm not even really sure what we're looking for. You know, we're just kind of, because we're supposed to be looking for people that were, I guess, guarding or, you know, anything that we could use to our advantage here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure what that would look like. Because I don't know, the person that we're meeting, we've never seen her before. Plus, we're not supposed to be meeting her right now, right?
Yeah, she'll show up. You're already in the place. She'll show up. But you don't know what she looks like, so.
Alright, so I just say, like, secure the perimeter.
I guess we could just, like, find a spot. And hang out. And are we able to radio back to Tara? Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, I think for now we could just like find a place to hang out. And then how long do we have before the meeting starts?
Like maybe an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. It's soon. Definitely. You maybe lost track of time talking to Mallow.
Mallow. Okay, so I guess I would just say we wait until, and then just tell radio back to Tara and Zed and tell them that we've secured the perimeter as much as we think is possible. Okay. So they can come join us. Or actually, you know, should we all meet them? Or maybe if it's a trap, we should, just two of us should meet them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I'm thinking if we all meet up outside, we could send Z3 to meet the contact, and then we could watch him.
We could, since we're on the second floor, we could stay here and you guys can come, you can wait outside and Z3 can go in and talk to the contact. So then we've got like kind of a pincer, like we've got people from, like if we need to rush to help, we've got people upstairs. You know, like I don't think that they would be expecting there to be people upstairs.
And I can come in after Z3 and grab a seat by the door.
Mm-hmm. That's my vote.
Yeah, I like that. You can always escape out the balcony too if we can't get out.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, great. So the two of you are going to stay, both of you staying upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Talra, where are you going to be?
I'm going to let Z3 enter first. And then after waiting a little bit, I'm going to enter separately and just take a nondescript seat by the door, but in full view of Z3.
Okay.
And you're talking about like inside of the establishment.
That's The meeting is inside, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you know exactly about the meeting place?
So she said, if you're going to send people, send them here to this location, and I will find them. So you just have to go and wait at the right time in the right place. You're in the right place and the right time is approaching.
Do we have,
if I may make a suggestion,
please.
I think a watch out outside of the door would be beneficial. I have the scanner. I can scan for stormtrooper comm activity while I'm sitting outside of the door of the establishment. And I can warn you if there's any trouble coming.
That's true. That's true. We were thinking this could be a trap, though. And also, as we don't know the person who would be meeting us, they would most likely be more trustworthy in an Imperial droid, since they know that the message was sent directly to the rebels. So it would be much more nondescript if she were to be meeting with an Imperial droid instead of another person. That way any Imperials would be thrown off. That was the reasoning behind if you actually wanted to meet the person. However, if you don't want to do that, then absolutely we can switch positions.
Commander, in the future, please refrain from reasoning with me. I will do what you say.
Just you're going to meet with our contact. I'll sit by the door.
Affirmative.
Okay.
Like, don't also, a small thing, just really, really small thing, guys. Zed, can we stick with Zed?
Zed, absolutely.
Zed, or yeah. Z3.
Also, Gunner's a guy.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yep, Gunner's a guy. Z3.
I usually say Zed. Which one do you prefer?
Yeah, I've just been saying Zed.
Yeah, Zed's fine.
Yeah,
cool.
Zed, got it.
Okay. All right. So Zed, you're gonna go into the bar.
Yes, I will do. I will station myself where the commander has said.
Okay. So you start walking into the bar, and when you walk under the overhang, when you get into the building proper, get closer to the bar, some kind of like scanner above like makes a noise, like it makes kind of like a pulsing sound. There's a light that like pulses over you. And the bartender, the hut at the bar, looks over and he like kind of glares at you and he's like, oh no, no, what is that? What, a droid? No, no, we don't serve their kind here. And he kind of like stares at you and he's like, no, I'm kidding. Come in. I love droids. Come here. And like gestures for you to like come over to the bar.
I shoot a quick look at the commander and I walk over.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And he kind of like squints and like leans over. He's like, a droid, eh? Huh? And he kind of like gives you a look, and he's like, I'm wearing clothes too. How strange. Well, all kinds of strange people here. Have a seat, friend. Do you want anything to drink? Oh, no, I suppose you wouldn't. Can I get you some oil? Little droid joke, and he like slapped you on the back.
I know by human social interaction that I should be laughing now. I assure you that I would be if I knew how.
He's like, don't know how to laugh, huh? It's a shame. I know so many dirty jokes. Well, you got business here. And he like looks around. He's like, this is a bar. I usually serve people who can drink.
And I serve people who drink.
And he's like, oh, you looking for a job, droid? I already have all the droids I need. And he gestures over to the one by the table. I like the personal touch. Give people drinks myself. I'm a hard worker. Not like the rest of those huts. Ugh, I tell you, lazy.
Affirmative.
He's like, not a conversationalist, are you, huh? Well, that's all right. You just sit on that stool. You keep it warm for the next customer. And then he laughs. He's like, oh, you're made of metal. Never mind. And he kind of like shows himself out.
I love this guy.
Yeah, so he heads off to the back. I think who's watching like outside? Who's got like eyes on the like
plaza? That's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're seeing people come and go, and you see somebody approaching. There's two of them actually. There's a woman, and she's wearing a like she's got a headscarf, and her face is like kind of obscured. You can't see her. She's wearing like kind of like robes, basically, kind of like obscuring her figure and her face. And she's walking next to a Trandoshan. So a Trandoshan's like a 3 meter tall lizard man. Bosk is one of these dudes, one of the bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back. And the Trandoshan has a big like metal collar on his neck with a blinking light on it. And there's a thick like metal chain that like runs down, and the woman is like holding the chain. And the two of them are walking definitely like towards the bar.
And these guys are sentient, the big lizard guys?
Yeah. It's not as smart as your like the average Trandoshan is not as smart as the average human. But they're definitely sentient creatures. They have a planet and a government.
As I see them, I'm going to kind of just lean down and kind of put my hand on the side of my head so no one else can see me. And I'm just going to say into my earpiece, we have two people approaching, Trandoshan and a woman in a headscarf.
Copy.
Okay. So where are the two of you upstairs? Is anybody like watching the outside? Can anyone get eyes on her?
Yeah, I can go over to the... Well, I guess if I go to the balcony, I won't be able to see into the building that I'm in.
Yes, if you're sitting on the balcony, you can't look underneath, but you can see people approaching.
Okay, cool. So are they still outside?
Yeah, they're still on their way up.
Okay, so I'm going to go out to the balcony and see if I can... Can I do, like, a... I guess I don't even know what we would need to look for. Like, weapons or something?
Yeah, you can make a perception check. You can use Gunner's imaginary binoculars.
Never gonna let them on that, are you?
Never. Nope.
Okay, so do I just need how many difficulty?
What are you looking for? You're trying to check if they have like hidden weapons from a distance?
Yeah.
Okay, it's gonna be tricky. Let's say four difficulty.
Four?
Yeah. Cause you're looking for like weapon. Like bulges in her robes, or like, yeah, and you're not standing there close up to them, so.
All right.
Yeah. No.
So I just see them, but
take
I
don't it from a screen. You see them, and yeah, they're definitely.
You look at the woman, and your eyeballs explode in your head.
Well, you know, I wasn't gonna say it, but. Yeah, no, not so much.
Like, you couldn't tell.
She's either like, he's definitely unarmed. He's wearing essentially like slave garb, right? He's got like a loose kind of like shift on, just like covering his lizard shame. But she's dressed either to hide who she is, or she could be hiding a bunch of shit in there, right? She could have like a blaster rifle, and the robes are too voluminous to tell.
Okay.
Is there like a I don't know if it's xenology or like some sort of knowledge to know why like this lizard creature is like seems to be enslaved by this other one? I mean, are they slavers?
The Trandoshans, like a lot of non-human races, they weren't as enslaved as the Wookiees. Like almost all the Wookiees have been like made slaves by the Empire, but owning a Trandoshan slave is like, it's a thing. It's not an unknown, possibility.
Okay. Is it anybody thing? Anybody does it? It's not like Rebel Empire or anything.
I mean, the New Republic does not believe in slavery, right? Like it's not okay to enslave people, whatever their species might be.
Second.
Yes.
Can I see if they're doing the old cuffed up,
the old Chewbacca.
Yeah. The cuffed up Wookiee trick to see if that thing is rigged to just let go of them. She's actually their buddies or something.
Like a
computer mechanics.
Gosh, it's at this distance as they approach, seeing if the like thing is actually buckled.
Okay.
You can make a roll. It's going to be real hard though.
Let me try it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I would say probably same distance, but throw a disadvantage die on there, throw a black die on. So four purples and one black.
Four purples, one black.
Yeah.
And computer or
it's perception.
Oh, it's perception?
Yeah.
Oh. Fuck, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't even bothered. Yeah. Like with computers or mechanics, I have a chance. This one, not so much. All right, let's give her a shot.
Do it.
Not as big of a failure as I thought.
Yeah, it could have gotten a lot worse for you, for sure. But that's good. So, yeah, no. You can't tell. It just appears that he's, you know, buckled up.
Okay.
So the two of them approach, and they come inside, and you see the bartender, like, he sees her, and he, like, tips her his fez to her like they know each other. And then she continues, and she goes and sits down. And you notice she keeps checking a chronometer on her wrist. She seems nervous about what time it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we have a catchphrase or indicator or anything as a way to confirm our identity to her?
Yeah, she probably would have in the broadcast sent you like a whatever those are called, like a call and return, you know.
Okay.
Like the Millennium Falcon flies at midnight. Yes, but only over Hoth. Right. Like,
Hoths are the best race.
Yeah.
I spun in Hoth, yeah. Full name, please.
Luke was Leia's sister, but it's okay because they didn't know. So you have a little like a back and forth phrase that you'll use to indicate.
So seeing them sit down, I'm just gonna kinda again lean over and say, Zed, if you could approach the woman in the headscarf and attempt to relay the message.
I walk over.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I miss the message, or do we just have it?
You just have it. I don't know what it is, but there is like a call and response.
Excuse me, madam.
So as you approach, you get within a certain distance. You're like, oh, excuse me, madam, and the Trandoshan like looms over you and like hisses at you. when you start to get close to her.
It seems your companion is in need of some training.
And she kind of like looks at you. You can only see her eyes because she's got her whole like face like wrapped up in. And she's like, I don't need anything from you, droid. Please just leave us alone.
And then I relay the message.
Yeah, you give her the phrase.
Yep.
And she like squints. And she looks up at her friend and hisses something to him. And he kind of like nods and like takes a step back and gets out of your way. And she looks at you and she's like, odd. I didn't think they'd send a droid. You made it all the way here by yourself.
Did she do the callback so I know?
Yeah, she did. Yep.
Okay. it seemed I was better suited for this particular task. I am not alone.
If you, when you say that, she looks around like she's looking for your companions.
If you would follow me and sit at this table across from me that I sit at, I will introduce you to my commander.
And she, yeah, she stands up.
I don't even wait for her answer.
She stands up slowly and she walks over to the table. And she's still holding the chain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she walks over and sits down. And do you lead her to Tala's table?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So she sees you. Do you stand up when she approaches?
Yes. I stand up. I kind of put my hands, kind of hold them in front of me. And as she comes closer, I just kind of bow my head a little bit.
Yeah, she returns the bow.
Hold out my hand and gesture for her to take a seat.
Yeah, she does.
And I sit down as well.
And she says, so it's just you and the droid then?
I stay standing, by the way, just because I don't need to sit. I'm not tired.
Yeah, totally.
So I kind of look at her for a second, and I haven't answered her yet. And I just kind of go, you know, we've traveled a very long way to talk to you. We were told you have information that may help us. We are very limited on time, and it would be best if we could get to what you would like to talk about as soon as possible.
She sighs, and she says, what we need to discuss is the fate of all of Felucia. I hope that you don't intend to rush this conversation. I understand that you don't feel safe here, but neither do I, nor any of the other citizens of this planet. The Empire has us by the throat.
Tell us how we can help you.
And she like sighs and she looks around and she says, Malos is maybe the last safe place on the planet. And she reaches up and like pulls her hood back and reveals her face, and we get the kind of like, you know, the romantic strings come in, and she's got her hair all like up in like the obvious sort of nobility style, like really ornate, like weird Star Wars buns. She has her face is actually painted white, and she has some like red markings on her cheeks, and she has this really ornate gold like headband on. And yeah, and so she like takes the hood off, and her companion like he kind of like hisses and like puts his hand on her shoulder, and she like pats his hand, and she's like, it's all right, Krohn, it's fine. And she looks at you, she says, I'm Counselor Sasha Kale. Who are you?
She's like, just can I do a lore to know who that is?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Would it be just lore, intelligence, outer rim, under what?
Outer rim. Yep, knowledge outer rim.
Okay. What would be the difficulty?
To recognize her name, 2.
Okay. Like recognize her name and what she does. Because I'm going to do like the whole C-3PO thing. Oh, she's the da-da-da-da.
Yeah. The more successes you get, the more I'll tell you.
Yeah. Okay. So outer rim?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. All right. So you strain your circuits a little bit. I just put how to spell her name down in there. You strain your circuits a little doing it, but you get 3 successes. So she isn't such a huge deal herself. Like she's really young. She's like 19 maybe. Okay. The council is traditionally hereditary. It's her father that's the big deal. Her father, Corin Kale, he was killed, like executed, just after she was born for attempting basically a coup against the Empire on this planet. He was friends with Bail Organa, who is Princess Leia's like adopted dad, and he was at a lot of the early talks of the like alliance to restore the Republic. But when he attempted to get the council to turn against the Empire, they stunned him gratuitously. They opened. He was stunned by the neck until dead.
prejudice.
Yeah, he was executed. And ever since then, it's been like hard lock on the planet, and nobody's been willing to like step up. So she's got a personal stake in this.
Did she assume his position since it was hereditary?
Yes. Yeah. She became counselor in his stead. Eventually.
So I relay like the technical, really cold version of that to Tal'ra in like a synopsis.
Yeah.
Great. So at this point, I'm kind of looking across from her. She's asked for our help.
She said she wanted to get you here to like talk to you.
So at this point, our team is small. What could you do to help us achieve your goal, which I'm assuming is being removed from the yoke of the Empire?
She says, we've been building popular support on the planet for as long as I've been alive, but we don't have the equipment we need or the ships or the weapons or the manpower, frankly, to get the Imperials off of our front doorstep. And she like looks over her shoulder and you can see the big fucking like towering consulate. And she says, too many of the counselors are either in the Empire's pocket or afraid to do or say anything about it. After what happened with my father, she looks at Zed. Who would blame them? The Empire's dangerous. Nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal backed into a corner. I fear that if we push too hard, they'll push back, and it's not a fight that we can win.
When you contacted us, you let us know that you had information we needed to know. And now that we know that there is an amount of people here that could assist us in overthrowing the Empire, what else would you need to help light the match that would start that fire?
There's an agent of the Imperial Security Bureau somewhere on the planet. He's the one responsible for making sure that we stay under their heel. He's the one that runs this whole place, not the governor, not the council, but that man. His identity is... Our intelligence operations are limited, as you must understand, but he's here. And if we can remove him, all the rest of the Imperial bricks will crumble. I need you to help me find out who he is and deal with him. I can point you in the right direction to start. I know several of the counselors who are loyal to the Empire. Some of them might know him, but I don't. And no one that I know does. And that's why I need your help.
So at this point, I kind of look down and I'm thinking about it. And I slowly get up from the table and I kind of put out one finger and I say, one moment. And I turn around and I kind of face the wall. So mm-hmm. I'm not leaving, but I'm still very much straight there. And I'm assuming this entire time that I had left my comm open so the rest of the team could hear what's going on.
Sure, yeah.
And kind of looking down and looking to the wall, I put my hand up and I go, before I continue here, thoughts.
Sounds genuine. I haven't picked up on anything that made it sound like a trap. I don't know how the four of us are meant to solve this problem for them.
And then I kind of go, Gunner.
This is the mission we were given. This is the mission we're going to complete.
So I kind of nod and sit back down and kind of clasp my hands in front of her and take a deep breath and kind of go, I'm going to need all the information you have and we'll take it from there.
She says, there was a disturbance this morning at the South Gate. Was that you?
And I kind of just I lock eyes with her and I kind of go, we know a bit about that incident. and I'll leave it at that.
It's going to be very difficult for you to hide out in the city if the Empire knows who you are. I can't hide you. I can't have you close to me. It's too dangerous. You understand? And she kind of like looks down and she's like, I wish that I had somewhere you could hide, but I don't.
Seeing that she's getting distraught, I kind of, you know, please do not worry about us, how we got here, how we're leaving, or how the mission will be completed. We just need all of the information you have. And then I kind of say again, and I lower my voice again, and we'll take it from there.
She nods and she swallows hard and reaches into her robe and takes out
a tense up when she does that.
She reaches into her robe and takes out a data pad and puts it on the table and slides it towards you. And she says, everything you need to know, particularly about the counselors that I think are loyal to the Empire, is in there. Their schedules, as much information as I could find for you. Now, I don't know which one is going to point you in the direction of the Imperial agent, but one of them, and she like taps it, one of them I'm certain will. And she has, when she like taps it, you can see her like her bare hand. And she has the same like kind of like white paint on her hand, and she has like long gold fingernails and like really ornate like kind of gold like webbing like jewelry on the back of her hand. And then she like pulls it back into her cloak.
Commander?
Yes.
I'm not sure if we are the proper team to pull off this mission. We've been seen, we are known. Perhaps we take this information and relay it to a different team so that they may complete the mission. I think if we tried to do that here with all of the Empire soldiers knowing our faces and what we have done, it would just be detrimental to the mission.
Do you say this in front of her? Or are you like relaying this to me?
I say it in front of her. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to kind of lock eyes with him and go, noted. And I'll look back at her and go, how will we get in contact with you? Do we need anything else or have more information?
She smiles kind of sadly and shakes her head and she's like, I'm afraid that won't be possible. It's just too dangerous. This is all I can give you. The information on that data pad and this time together.
At that point, I just kind of nod and thank you for your time. We'll do everything we can and we appreciate the risk you're putting yourself in.
And she nods and like pulls her hood back up. And I think that before you leave, prior to that, you see there's like a display downstairs, like a TV showing broadcasts from like various like Imperial news networks and stuff. And they're showing there was some kind of like terrorist attack recently. It shows like some drone camera footage of a convoy of vehicles in some like big city. There's all these like buildings around this convoy of vehicles, and then all of a sudden out of one of the windows like a rocket flies in and blows up one of the vehicles, and then all the vehicles are on fire. There's explosions and you can't hear it. You can't hear what the broadcast is saying, but it shows like riots, basically like a bunch of people outside an Imperial Imperial fortress, all like shouting and holding signs, and it says like unrest on terrace. And she looks at it. You both catch like a glimpse of this, and she turns and looks at you, and she says, "You see," and like points at it. Other worlds are waking up, fighting back against the Empire. That's what I want for Felucia. I want us to be able to fight back, strike a blow, please. And she like puts her hands on yours, and her hands are like kind of like cold. And you can feel the like sort of sharp metal like nails that she has on like pressing against your skin, and she says, "Please help us." And then kind of like shyly like withdraws her hands.
I kind of look at her again, and we will do everything in our power to get this mission completed. At that point, I kind of get up, like stand up.
Okay. All right. So where do you go?
immediately put my thing up, make sure the team's all on the same page. And so they're both in the like the VIP area, right? Or are they in the second floor?
Yeah, they're upstairs. Yep.
Okay. Can I get up there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you guys may want to meet us downstairs. so basically I let them tell them to come on down, and we kind of grab a table after making sure that no one in the bar is kind of staring at what just occurred. So after confirming that there's no one, you know, that watched this or anything, you know, I let them know to come down so we can talk about it at the table.
Before I go downstairs, I want to find the stairway to the third floor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a stairway that leads up.
I can go up there freely.
It's got a little like chain across it, a little sign hanging from it that just says private.
And there's no drive?
Nope.
I just jump it and I go upstairs.
You just hop over it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you like climb up the stairs and come out into like an empty room. There's a bunch of like downstairs, a bunch of like pillows kind of laid out, and there appears to be like a stage in the middle of the room, but it's empty now. You just have sunlight coming through through the windows. The whole area is like a little dusty, so there's bits of like motes of dust hanging in the light.
So it's like a stage for like a pop concert.
Maybe, yeah.
Just wanted to go to Sharpie and say like Knights acid at first, but okay.
Yeah, there's just like an empty room for some kind of like performance.
I shrug and I go back downstairs.
Okay. All right.
So once we're all at the table, the first thing I do is the data. It was like a data pad that we got from her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to slide that over to Zed and kind of go take a look at this. Let us know what you think. So I'm assuming it's a lot of information. You could probably process it a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to just take a look at it here, like in the bar?
Yeah, sure.
After making sure no one's like staring at us.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so you start taking a look through it, and it looks like it was like personally compiled by the counselor. She's made personal notes on a bunch of information on a bunch of people, and it looks like her like number one suspect, like the person that she thinks you should go after first, is another counselor. He's an older dude. Probably like in his 50s. His name is Timo Turin. And he's actually not even from Felucia. Like, he was transplanted here from Coruscant, from Imperial Center, to like forcibly join the council. They were like, yeah, this guy's a part of the council now. Too bad. I know you normally only have 10 seats, but now there's 11. And so she like points to him as being like, he probably, Counselor Turin probably knows something. There are several other, there's like three or four other counselors that she thinks like, you know, like she, and I think part of it, it's like looking at it and I don't know, like you look at it from a data perspective, and there's lots of data, but it's partly like, you know, actual information that she's like obtained or stolen, like schedules and stuff, but it's partially like teenage girl paranoia diary stuff where she's just like, I saw these two talking again. This doesn't make sense. Like, you know, there's all these notes on top of notes that are a little bit like, you're going to have to try to figure out what's real data and what's kind of like paranoia, if there's a difference between the two.
Gotcha. I'm attempting to extract the correct data, Commander. It's troubling.
Can you discern any locations or schedules or anything of the like?
I relay the information about what Timo, what?
Timo Turin.
Timo Turin, I relay that information. Are there any other names that like, I know he's the top. Are there any other names that come up?
Yeah. I mean, like there's sort of, like I said, like three or four different counselors. Those ones, the data is like less, there's less correlative data there for them. But yeah, you can get an idea of like the ones that she suspects.
So Timo Turin is at the top of the list.
He's the main jam. Yeah, she's definitely pointing you at him first.
I suggest we, if we are to stay, he is the one we start doing recon and surveillance on.
So I kind of nod and look at Gunner and Kestrel and go, step one is reconnaissance. Step two is planning. Step three is execution. We need to find this man. We need to figure out when the best time is, and then we need to execute. First step is going to be finding a place to stay. And then as soon as possible, we need to relay this information back to headquarters. Let them know the plan. Let them know what we've learned.
Can people here intercept our comms in the same way Zed can intercept theirs?
Yes, I can encode the communications, but there's no guarantee that it will never be unscrambled. But I can do the best I can.
All right. We should never tell them exactly where we're staying in that case.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have no way of contacting the people we just talked to, right? What's her name?
I mean, you know her name. You could probably, like, if you wanted to be totally disrespectful of her security boundaries, you could, like, look her up and find out where her house is and just go there.
Right. Hey, girl, how you doing?
Like, hey, what's up? It's Rebel Friends. Hey, what's up? Yeah,
I need makeup tips.
Yeah, from last Friday. You remember? We were talking about contacting the home base, right? Not her.
Yeah, if we can. I don't know if that's actually a possibility.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you need access to a more powerful comm relay than is built into your droid or that you have. But Zed can totally, like, encrypt it if you have access to something like that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'd say the first step, are we under the assumption that we don't have a place to stay? And are we under the assumption that we need to find?
Yes, you are in enemy. You're in enemy territory with no safe house right now. So.
Okay. Am I correct in assuming that the contact at one point mentioned that the bartender was the last, this was the last.
She considers this a safe place. Yeah. That Malo is not someone that she thinks will ever, like, turn to the other side. And then he keeps it pretty good.
So I'm going to look at Kestrel and say,
establishment seemed to take a shine to me for some reason.
That works too.
This is true.
Yeah, I don't think we
talk to him
again.
I think I might have burned a bridge with Malo.
Yep.
Well, it seems like we should talk to Malo and see if he can either provide or knows of any place that friends of his previous patron could perhaps reside for an evening or two.
Zed, see if you can oil up that hut over there. What was that?
A colloquialism. Ah.
Zed puts the oil can away.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go butter up that hut.
Shall I do so now, or are we waiting?
Yeah, let's see if you can go talk to him now while he's not busy.
Although I cannot guarantee that I know how to oil up a hut, I will do the best that I can.
It was a joke, Zed. It was a joke.
Affirmative. All right, so I walk over to the hut.
Okay. Yeah. He's having a conversation with two guys dressed in like traveler's robes. And they're laughing about some lewd thing he just said in hoodies. And you walk over and he's like, excuse me, gentlemen, I have to talk to my friend over here. And he turns around and comes over to you. And he's like, hello again.
I want to address him as like I was actually looking at xenology.
Mm-hmm.
It says, know what behaviors are considered necessary and polite to, like, other races. Of, like, I want to call him, like, your greatness, or if he likes being called your fatness or whatever.
Yes, your mighty corpulence.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can make a xenology roll to figure out hut etiquette. Hutiquette.
Hutiquette.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, say just difficulty two. Two purple there.
Okay. Do all huts have a little buddy with them?
No. Oh. Salacious Crumb is one of a kind.
What was the thing Java the hut had?
Yeah, that's Salacious Crumb.
Yeah.
So you just you figure it out. So yeah, like Huts like to be they think of themselves as the top of the food chain, that everybody is subordinate to them. They're very jealous and they like being treated like they're royalty or like gods. They like being worshipped. So they like having like followers around them. But I mean, I don't know, maybe Zed picks up on this, maybe he doesn't, but this guy doesn't seem quite like your usual Hut.
Yeah, right. He doesn't.
His little fez and his like jovial nature.
Yeah, his fez. I love little fez. Okay, so I just approach him. Would I say like good Sir Mallow or just Mallow or what the fuck?
Yeah, if you want to be obsequious, I mean, you could say like, you don't even call him by name, right? You could be like, you know, your gloriousness or your high bartenderiness.
pardon me, your gloriousness. If we have a word.
Yeah, he laughs and he's like, gloriousness. Oh, my shiny metal friend. You don't have to use that kind of language around me. I don't own a sail barge. I'm not going to throw you in a sand pit. Not today, anyway. And kind of like gives you a little like Hut wink.
Affirmative. If I may inquire as to lodging, I have a need of a place to stay for a day to three. And I was wondering if you had a place that I could do so.
He says.
Also, if no one else would know about it, maybe a Hut could charge extra.
And he laughs. He's like, secret rendezvous. You have a girlfriend, shiny friend. And he like goes to like slap you on the back again. And he's like, I won't tell anybody. I have a nice big closet out back, many shelves. You could sleep in there with the brooms. Who am I kidding? I've never swept this place. and he's like, so it's just for you or, and then he like leans in and he's like, and for your friends at the table over there. And he like looks over at Tara and back to you.
And I do one of these.
If it were, would that be a problem?
He shakes his head. He's like, no. Mallow is a very trustworthy Hut. I can find lodgings for you and your friend. How many? You and the Bothan? Anyone else? How big is this party going to be?
I think two rooms total would be more than enough.
He nods. He says, not too many places around here that aren't kept a close eye on, if you know what I mean, for the men in white, you know?
I believe I understand your meaning.
And he says, it might take some time, but you're welcome to stay in the bar until I have someone arrange something for you.
You have my gratitude.
Good. Well, I'll see what I can do, friend. I'll see what I can do. And I think before you go, and he says, but you know, it wouldn't hurt for business if you and your friend, while you're having your secret meetings with the counselor, if you order a drink or two, you know? Look strange if you're sitting at an empty table. You see what I mean?
I will take that into consideration.
Yeah, and I think he puts like a piece of like laminate. He puts a piece of laminate in your hands that has like writing on it, and he's like, yes, take a menu into consideration. And he's like, just
it might seem even stranger to have an android drinking in your bar.
He's like,
spill down the front of me.
Yeah. He says, I've seen plenty of funny things in my life, but a drunk droid, I've never seen such a thing. But hey, maybe tonight's the night, huh?
I shall endeavor to please you.
Yeah. So you turn around to go back to the table.
Yeah.
Before you go, like you get a couple of steps
away. Like a proclamation.
Yeah, you get a couple of steps away, and he's like, "Hold on, hold on, droid. Come here a second."
Turn around.
Yeah, he like walked back over, and he kind of like leans back and like fixes his fez, and he's like, "Now, be honest with me, droid. What do you think? Would I look good with a mustache?"
Affirmative.
I like you, droid. Straight into the point. Affirmative. I'm going to use that one. Affirmative. That's good.
That one.
Yeah, and then he's like, he goes back to his friends, and he's like, "So where was I? Oh yes, the Bantha and his two wives. So anyway," and he like goes back over to finish telling this dirty joke to these
guys. I come to the table with the menu.
So are you all downstairs now, or the two of you? Because after you are.
I think we're all at the table. Yeah, we is that to return?
Okay. I'm done.
Okay, perfect.
Mallow suggests that we all order drinks because, and I agree that we all look strange without.
I still have my drink. I'm drunken.
Yeah, like a full drink in your hand. Okay,
I'm just carrying that around.
All right, sure. Can we find a? Is there a waitress in this place or?
I think you just order from Mallow. Yeah, you go up to the bar.
So glancing at the menu, it is a legit menu, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's full of delightful Felucian delicacies. Most of them are like mushroom or insectoid in nature.
But no like hidden messages or anything that would jump
out. No, it's like he legitimately just gave you a menu because he's like, "Look, if you're gonna hang out in the bar, it's a little less suspicious if you drink something."
Right.
So I kind of look at the table. At this point, I'm assuming it's pretty late in the day.
Yeah, I think so. You've been here like most of the day, like as a group.
And we haven't slept for a long time, right?
Yeah, you're feeling pretty run down.
So it's probably time to grab a drink and figure out our lodgings for the evening.
Oh, and killing stormtroopers really takes it out of us.
and the other thing, we haven't slept for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, so, you've been up for a while. Okay, so why don't we make a let's make a streetwise roll. I'll roll for Mallow to see if he can find you a place, and then that'll determine how safe that place is and whether you get your head busted in by stormtroopers overnight.
Did you want us to do the streetwise, or is
I got it? Because okay. you convinced Mallow to like work his contacts for you.
Great.
So I think difficulty is going to be probably three, but Mallow's a pretty well connected dude. So let's see what happens. Nice. Okay. So it does reflect some degree of like strain. It's like a bit of a hardship for him. He has to put himself out there. But I think that you get a couple of drinks. He brings you some food, and when he brings you the tray with your like food on it, he says, he's like, "I left the bill for you underneath the slugs. You should take a close look at it." And he turns around and he's like, "And tip big as a hut." And he like squirms away. And on the receipt, there's no money like amount. There's just an address, and he tells you like where you can go and where you can stay.
How much, just from our basic knowledge, how much would a meal like that cost that we had just gotten?
Oh, for like a meal for the four of you and like drinks, probably like 150 credits.
Okay, and we looted 400 credits from the guy earlier.
Yeah.
God. I'm guessing about leaving 200 credits for this guy.
Sure.
Okay, so I would thinking maybe put 200 credits on the bill and then kind of check with the team before we head out.
Okay. All right. Cool. So you head out to the lodgings that Mallow has set up for you, and I think that's probably a good place to end the episode, right? We get the like the fade out on you leaving Mallow's bar. So yeah, let's do some shout outs and call her a night. You want to start us off, Co?
Sure. My name is Co Carnage. I hope you guys enjoyed the show because I enjoyed the hell out of being here. Big thank you to Anne, Caitlin, Zeke, and of course Adam for an incredible show. My name is Co. You can find me at twitch.tv/CoCarnage. Next big thing on the channel is Witcher 3 Blood and Wine on Tuesday, and that's really about it. Thank you guys for watching, and a big thanks to JP for hosting, of course.
Word. Cool. Zed, resident Android, paranoid Android.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? 4R in the house. I want to thank Anne, Caitlin, Co. for being such wonderful people to play Star Wars with. Also, huge thank you to the skinny ghost himself, Mr. Adam Coble. Thank you so much for having me on. Nothing today. However, tomorrow, Encounter Table Night, Sour Kool-Aid Show. It's going to be me, this guy, DP. He's right here. We're going to be doing some encounter table and drinking and playing video games on the Sour Kool-Aid Show, twitch.tv/Sour Kool-Aid Show tomorrow night. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, a professional StarCraft player. Now I just play a bunch of Metal Gear Solid. So right after this, I'm going to start Metal Gear Solid 4 for the first time. I like cried at the end of Metal Gear Solid 3. I think I've cried at the ends of all of them, honestly. When the Fox Sound part came up, Metal Gear Solid 3, I just burst into tears. So it's like, I mean, I think it's cool. Like, you don't find people that just play Metal Gear Solid for the first time very often, you know? So check that out. And if you want to help us, I'll be sure to follow like all of us here on Twitter, Anne, Co, Zeke, Adam, JP. Thanks to JP. Super fun. Hope you guys are enjoying Gunner and everyone else. Thanks for watching.
Cool, cool. And last but not least, our own personal Widowmaker.
So I'm Ammunition, and I stream every day except for Monday, except for I'll probably be streaming tomorrow because I can't get enough of Overwatch. So if you guys, I mean, probably a lot of you have seen me playing with JP. I've been playing with him pretty often, and also be checking out the DLC for The Witcher 3, which I just finished the main story of recently. I have not played the,
Hearthstone.
No, there's the other DLC for that's not Blood and Wine. I can't remember the name of it. But I'll be doing both of those pretty soon here. And I think I'll probably actually be playing some a little bit tonight. I need to eat some food. I'm like starving, but I'll be playing some Overwatch tonight. So thank you to Co, Zeke, Caitlin, and Adam, and of course JP for having me. Thanks for being here, guys.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I forgot to thank JP. I'm not going.
Okay. Yeah. You just acknowledged that you forgot. Later. Well, thanks everybody for coming. I'm Adam Coble. If anybody stuck around for the whole day worth of streams, thank you. It's been a hell of a lot of Star Wars. I am fucking exhausted. So I'm going to go and have a nap and eat something, but thank you for coming. Thanks everybody for playing. This game is great. If you want more sci-fi RPG goodness, make sure to come back tomorrow at 5:00 Pacific, whatever that time is for you. Me, DJ Wheat, Caitlin, the return of Jeff as Mr. Sicarian for our first run of Swan Song Stories, which I'm really excited about. We've been waiting to do this for a long time, so that should be really cool. So tune in for that tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I hope it's tomorrow. So if it hasn't been announced yet, somebody's fucking it up.
I've just been dying to talk about that. So it's like, oh, I can say it now. Yeah, Mr. Ass is back.
All right. So cool. I'm going to go. I'm going to take all these people with me. But thanks for coming, everybody. And we will see you next time for more Lightside Balance Power.